Welcome to Manager Tools. Is this normal? Episode 3, Part 1. This cast answers these questions. Is it normal to have open political discussions at work? Is it normal to be asked to join a political action committee as an executive? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go, folks.
Rather than doing a product ad this week, we thought we'd share a recent email that we got from one of our longtime listeners as a testimonial. And Susan Zaitoon, I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, Susan, wrote in to recommend that Manager Tools create an Excellence in Leadership Award because her boss, Dr. Michael Nanzer, has transformed her and her colleagues' practice of management and leadership and so on so significantly that she wants him to have an award. We probably won't create an award, Susan, but I thought it might be beneficial for you and your colleagues and for Dr. Nanzer to hear how impressed we were with your note. And I will tell you that I'll just briefly sample from what Susan said in her note. Dr. Nanzer joined us about 2 years ago. Several of us managers, myself included, were longtime employees of our company and were pretty rattled by Dr. Nanzer's focus, drive, and new ideas. Agenda-driven meetings? Nah, we were a collaborative, go-with-the-flow thinkers who didn't need something so stuffy as an agenda. And feedback? What was that? Wasn't it all about keeping your employees happy so they don't quit? O3s? Oh, what? Disc? Drive. Drivel. Reflecting on it now, I can't imagine him not having joined our team. I can't imagine our business today without the contributions and advancements he's brought forth. Here's a guy who took Manager Tools into an organization, built relationships, and transformed the lives of his directs and colleagues so much so that they're recommending he become, he get an Excellence Leadership Award. So Susan, I hope this serves well in that regard. I'm glad that our work helped your boss and is now helping you. Well done.
Mark, I love this. Is it normal episodes that we have? Because we get questions all the time, like, this is happening at work. Is this normal? Am I smoking crack? And sometimes they're normal, and sometimes things you don't think normal are in fact normal, and best to be prepared for it.
Look, if you're an executive in a company and you've had a 25, 30 year career, you know what's normal and what's not. And so something happens and you see it as normal or not normal or whatever. But if you're just starting your career in your first 5 to 7 years, or as you move through the organization, you get exposed to different things that happen at different levels, you don't know whether it's normal or not. But we don't say anything, and the executives don't know to tell us that the teachers, the executives are supposed to teach and form to help the future executives of the company know what to do when they get to their level. They don't tell them, hey, that's not normal, or hey, that's normal. And there's no conversation about it.
Right. And God forbid that you get asked something that is completely normal and appropriate, be surprised by it, and have an immediate response that is,
yeah,
less than career enhancing, let's put it that way.
Exactly. And we would be not doing a service to a fellow management thinker if we didn't mention that this idea came from Ask a Manager, which is a good site that has a smart person running it that answers questions about management and HR and so on.
All right. So give me an outline of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So I think this is the third episode, and we're going to talk about two different political ideas. We have a number of podcasts about politics at work, including one about government politics, which we say you have to be really careful about that. But there's been a lot in the news, and I don't want to make this cast timely. It's still a timeless cast, but there's been a lot in the news lately about politics at work. Facebook and Google and people talking about politics and how do they feel about it and so on. So the first topic is it normal to have open political discussions at work? And the answer, folks, is despite what you read in the papers, no, it's not. It's not only not normal, it's really rare. For many, many companies, the vast majority of companies in the world, it's a violation of a taboo. Discussing politics at work has been almost universally considered unprofessional up until very recently. Okay. Now, we're not saying that 50 years from now, it will be that way. I think there's a high likelihood of that. We're just addressing the question of if it's happening to you and you're wondering, maybe you think, gosh, there are people who are being made uncomfortable by these conversations. There are people who hate the other side and say they hate the other side and never use curse words unless they're talking about politics. If you're wondering, now you know, it's not normal. Now, to be clear, it's not a rule. Companies don't have rules about this. And the reason why is not talking about politics doesn't need to be a rule in organizations because it's a cultural norm brought into the workplace from society. Rules in your workplace are the purview of the organization. Hey, we do it this way. We don't do it that way. This is how we do expense reporting. That's a rule. As a general rule, when there's a policy, when there's a process, that's essentially the promulgation of a set of rules to help you. And they're not black and white, violate a rule and go to jail. They're not laws. They're rules. And rules can be broken sometimes. And there are some consequences for violating a rule. But the consequences are often mitigated by, you may violate a rule, but if you end up furthering the company's goal of making money or keeping costs down, you know, you might get a slap on the wrist and you might get a wink from your boss saying, hey, don't do that again. But boy, it turned out good. Norms are usually not supported by formal organizational repercussions. And so politics is one of those things where without a guidance, and they probably wouldn't put it in the employee handbook. And there's so little education, you know, waterfall education about the culture and the values and so on of companies, because that's how cultural norms work. They get passed person to person. People notice, though, if you don't follow a norm. And if you ask somebody, hey, what are the norms around here? What are the standards for behavior? They go, well, they don't have a list in their head. They just know what you can do and what you can't do, right? There are rules, for instance, about break rooms and whether the company stocks the break room or whether they don't, and whether you're expected to sit at a table with other people. You know, if you sit down in the break room, is it acceptable? Is it accepted that you would sit down and take a seat where other people are sitting whom you don't know? Or is there an assumption that you'll sit somewhere else because you don't know if those two people are having a private meeting that you can't sit at their table? Those are all norms. You know, can you walk into someone's cubicle or do you wait outside the cubicle? Can you knock on somebody's door and walk in? Every organization is different. What does a closed door mean? You don't know. And if you go from one organization to another with different norms, you don't know. And you don't mean anything by it when you knock on the door and then walk in. That might be a completely acceptable cultural norm at an organization. And then somebody looks up and goes, what the hell are you doing in my office? And you're like, I'm sorry, I knocked and I came in. That's normal, right? That's where norm and normal are similar. And the more senior person, you goes, not here, it isn't. Right. Come back later.
Well, it's like a church, right? I don't think there are rules in most churches that say, when you come to service, you can't talk loud prior to the service. But there is a norm. When you walk into church, you sit down in the pew. It's not like you can't talk to the person next to you, but you whisper, you talk softly because other people are engaging in activities that probably you talking loud is not useful for them.
And norms are passed through thousands of interactions with thousands of other people. And norms are very organic or Darwinian in the sense that the norms that work best for allowing us to interact with one another in the tens of thousands of social interactions we have every week tend to win in the long run. And that's one of the reasons why culture is so powerful in society, because it defies rulemaking from the top. People notice when you don't follow norms, and the most likely effects of that tend to be more relational. Hey, you don't fit in here. Hey, you don't know. You're new. Hey, you don't know. This is how we do it. Hey, you just sort of violated, you just committed something that's sort of taboo, a soft taboo. the effects of that are relational versus organizational, or, you know, even something more formal. Now, look, it's a norm not talking about politics. I mean, again, folks, I'm not saying your company doesn't have a policy manual that says we don't talk about politics. Okay. But I would be very surprised. I'd love somebody to send me a picture of that page in their policy manual. And I would suspect it wasn't there 5 years ago. And somebody's decided, hey, we need to put this in the policy manual. Of course, it doesn't get communicated in a way, so it doesn't matter that it's in the policy manual, other than you may think you're violating a cultural norm in your organization when in fact you violated corporate policy regarding speech in the workplace. Look, there are good reasons for the norm of avoiding political discussions at work. Now, I know some of you are listening and saying, but there are good reasons for talking about politics at work. The organization is a political being after a fashion, and it is. You each are, first of all, hopefully thankful that you don't live in a brutally repressive dictatorship where you don't have free speech. We've said before on Manager Tools, just to be clear, don't shoot the messenger, guys. You don't have free speech at work. Your choice to join an organization causes you to accept, whether you know what they are or not, the norms and rules and policies and principles of the organization. And organizations, at least in the first world, have a long history of not being required to allow total free speech. That doesn't mean you can't have free speech outside of work, but you don't get to stand on a soapbox at work the way you could in public in a free modern country and espouse your political views. But look, think about some of these scenarios. A boss stating her political reasons, her political leanings, might later be perceived, just perceived now, even if it's not actually true, as showing favoritism to those people who ascribe to her views. Okay. This is an interesting case of what amounts to disparate impact if, in fact, there's no intent on her part to favor people who match her political views. But if somebody were to say to her, hey, the two people you put up promotion last year have the same political views as you. And she says, well, I didn't even know their political views. Okay. How do I know you don't know them? Maybe you guys are meeting in private. And you might say, you don't know my political views. But the impression that's left is political views seem to make a difference. You're batting 1,000 with promoting people who share your point of view. Also, a boss sharing her views sends a message from the company. Remember now, folks, if you're a boss of somebody else, you are the company to that person. You may not think that. You may say, that's not true. I'm not. We're buds, right? It doesn't matter what you think. And, you know, my wife tells me this all the time. We live in on the Monterey Peninsula in California. And there are a lot of cyclists here. The weather is year-round great for cycling, and it's pretty. It's pretty. We live less than 1,000 meters from the beach, and there are cyclists driving up and down, riding up and down 17-mile drive all the time. And sometimes they're a bit of a problem for traffic, but here's a cyclist going along, and my wife Rhonda and I are talking about the traffic and the cyclists, and, you know, where should I go, and how can I avoid the problem. And, you know, she says, it doesn't matter what happens. If you hit a cyclist, you're wrong, right? It's your fault. Almost to some degree, she makes the joke. I don't know the legalities of this. If a bike runs into the side of your car, you're wrong. Because to some degree, they can be perceived as pedestrians. And as a general rule, cars running into pedestrians, it's the car's fault. It's like rear-ending another vehicle. The car who rear-ends the other vehicle is always at fault. So when that happens, if you state your political leanings, okay, as boss, you are saying that the company says political discussions are okay. Well, you may not know what the rules are about cycling or the rules are about politics, but there are rules. And in some cases, when it comes to cycling, there are laws. And it doesn't matter whether you think you're right or not. It doesn't matter whether you think it's okay or not. There are laws designed to protect cyclists in traffic because they're so vulnerable. And there are organizational norms that protect individuals from bosses using political criteria to determine organizational decisions. If you speak up about politics, you're saying that political discussions are okay. That's a statement from the company that that's okay. But if you then, and because politics are a place where there's differences, whereas organizations, and this is a huge part of the problem in politics, and it's been known, folks, those of you who are thinking that politics is suddenly a thing in the workplace, this has been known for a long time. Politics tends, and freedom of speech and freedom of thought encourages differences of opinions. That's actually a good thing. It's healthy. Organizations exist to align people. Now, you could say, oh, Mark, I hear your hint. You're suggesting that we shouldn't have different points of view. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I would be saying is it's okay to have different points of view about which way the company's going until the company decides. Once the company decides, the cultural norm in most organizations is we murder the unchosen alternative. You don't get to continue talking about the other ideas you had. You would damage your career politically and professionally by doing so. So if a boss makes a political statement, and that sends the wrong message, and then a subordinate brings up something different, because now, no offense, boss, we're talking politics, and in the political world, you and I are equals. I'm thinking, again, first world countries, one person, one vote. But if the direct does it in a totally professional way, but the boss thinks, wait a minute, you're my subordinate, and then the boss challenges the subordinate's different political beliefs, again, responding in a way of saying one person, one vote, let's have a quote, healthy, unquote, political discussion. But the boss then challenges and says something like, well, that's stupid. That's this, that's that. It's completely reasonable for any other direct in the area, any other subordinate in the area to say, any person who comments and denigrates or in any way challenges or disagrees with a political statement will have a tough time going forward, totally separating their view of another person, because our brains are not machines that have 17,000 different categories and then exclude the political category from your evaluation of a direct. That's dangerous for the direct. And it started because the boss said something. It would be totally normal in a social conversation about politics to have a bit of banter, a bit of back and forth, a bit of challenge. And actually, now in the modern world, it's more than that. It's vitriol. But the boss who does it and the direct who disagrees, but the boss sees it as a challenge, because some bosses are immature, just like there are some people who are immature, that creates pressure on the directs to stay silent. And now suddenly, workplace is the one place where in politics, the boss gets to talk and nobody else does. That doesn't work. And this is the cultural norm in organizations that's designed to address, when we're talking about politics in organizational life, the mixing of two different cultural streams and the problems associated with it. Look, even further, a boss sharing political views misleads his team members. Again, the sharing of political views by a boss is the equivalent, guys, whether you like it or not, to a direct of the company having those views. When you speak, you're speaking for the company always. You may not like it, but that's the way the world is, okay? Now look, a manager is both an individual and a representative of the organization at all times. Since there's no way that any individual's complete and total political positions are identical to the organization's, managers are not supposed to talk about politics. That's why. There's a completely good reason. And it's not an abridgment of your freedom of speech.
Now, how about a manager speaking to another manager? Do the rules change? Do the norms change at that point?
Like it or not, organizational theory says that they both represent the company and are therefore to avoid political discussions, because it implies the two different people in the company have two different views. Okay. Now, to be fair, could two fellow managers who are friends talk about politics? Probably yes, but they ought to do so knowing that there's a norm that suggests they oughtn't. And so you don't do it in the lunchroom if people are overhearing, okay? You would have to do it sotto voce. You would have to do it probably after hours.
Well, let me give you an example that's not directly related to the workplace, as you'll find out here as I give you the example. But okay. I think it's instructive. forget what my political opinions are. I'll just say that my opinions and my brother's, his name is Mark, it's Mark, not Mark Horseman, Mark Osian, are different. We are on opposite ends of the spectrum, on the political spectrum.
Probably not opposite ends, but you're on different sides of the center.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we're not extremists. Neither of us are extremists, yeah. Right? And both he and I love debates. And my debating style is not a great one. I can be an attack dog sometimes, but it is great fun for me. And since we have different opinions, I like to challenge his views as he likes to challenge mine. It's great fun.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this for 20 years. It is fun for me. And there is a cost, and there has been a cost to our relationship. Like, many of our debates end up being not fist fights, but they become fights. People's feelings get hurt. And talking about politics became a detriment to the relationship. And we are not nearly as close as I would like to be. And so I decided, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, that I was going to stop doing that. And let me tell you, things have improved, right? It's like, these things, they may be fun, or you may be vocalizing something you feel very strongly about, but they can kill relationships or harm them. And this was insidious. I didn't really understand the effect. It had to be an epiphany, like, oh my God, this is not good.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll continue on this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one.